Today I am beginning a new series of teaching that I've entitled The Magnified Word of God. So with this first message, actually the title of the message is the same as the series, The Magnified Word of God. And basically, rather than attempting to make an introduction to where this message is headed, I'm going right into the message because for the most part, the message is the introduction to this series and why we are doing what we are doing, why we are focusing on this and the direction that it's going to go. So let's start by beginning to talk about God's Word and God's name. I would encourage you to turn with me to Psalms 138 and verse 2. Psalms 138 and verse 2. And when we're so close to it, why don't you mark in your Bibles, not because we're going to go there today, but if you have, you know, like one of these ribbon type markers or whatever, throw it in Psalms 119, because I'm going to encourage you to be spending some time in that chapter of the book of Psalms during this series. The Psalms 119 is broken up into groups of eight verses. And, you know, there's enough in each one of those groups to, I think, reflect and meditate on each day. I'm not only saying read your Bible for only eight verses a day, but I would encourage you to take eight of those verses each day and really mull over it, meditate on it, reflect on it to see all that it has to say. Larissa described it like this when she was sharing her message on the C20 Sunday. She said, this psalm is called I Love My Bible Psalm. And really that's what it's talking about, the Word of God. There are so many things involved in that Psalm 119 regarding the Word of God and how it will direct us, how it will help us. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to the Word of God. Revive me, O Lord, by your Word. And so on and so forth. There's so many things. And so I would really encourage you to spend some time in that Psalms 119. But again, right now, we're at Psalms 138 and verse 2. It says this, I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness. For your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. The last part of that verse is what we're mostly going to focus on from a variety of translations. First of all, from the New Living Translation, which is what I just read, it says, for your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. The New American Standard says, for you have magnified your word according to all your name. New King James Version says, for you have magnified your word above all your name. And then I want to share finally from the Amplified Translation that says, for you have exalted above all else your name and your word, and you have magnified your word above all your name. Now, again, we're seeing a couple of words that are frequented over and over again, magnified and exalt. And speaking of the name of the Lord's name and his word being magnified and exalted. And first of all, let's just simply identify those two words, magnify and exalt. Magnify, we're used to that word. You know, we know that what it does to magnify means to make larger to your view. It doesn't make something actually bigger. It does not enlarge something, but it enlarges your perspective. Your perspective is enlarged regarding what it is. We're used to magnifying glass or a microscope, that kind of thing. Those kind of things that magnify something so it's larger to your view. And when God is saying, I magnify my word, what he's attempting to do, I believe, is make it larger for us. His word does not need to be made larger. It's not like his word is being made larger. It needs to be made larger in our perspective. So in other words, we are giving it more of our attention. We are utilizing it more. We are giving the word of God, we are magnifying the Lord's word so it has a bigger picture in our lives. It is magnified. There are some things that you want to magnify. We also realize that there are some things that you'd probably rather not magnify. You'd rather not know. In fact, this little creature here is, you probably go to sleep with this creature. that'll give you nightmares now tonight. What? This is a simple household dust mite, but it's been magnified several times. It becomes bigger in our view, and all of a sudden it's a little bit more scary, because otherwise you don't see it and you don't notice it. You don't think about it, right? I can see all of you going to bed tonight going, why did he have to put that picture on the screen? The point of it is, some things you don't want to be magnified, but other things you do want to magnify. And when we magnify the Word of God, it makes the other things that are contrary or conflicting, or even the things that would give us fear, it makes those things to be smaller in our perspective, smaller in our view, so they're not such big things. Like the problems in our life, like we already talked about, we purpose to, when we come up against the obstacles, we're going to give the Lord our attention, we're going to give Him our praise, rather than these things that would, you know, maybe cause us to be in conflict or contradict the Word of God. The word exalt means to raise in rank and honor and power. And the best thing that I could think of to connect with that is like someone being knighted, a warrior being knighted, that they're exalted, which means to raise them in their rank and their honor and their power. All of a sudden there's a greater distinction. And again, what we desire to do is, or what God is desiring to do is, He is desiring us to give the raise and the rank of His Word in our life as He has given value to His Word. He's saying, I want you to value My Word like I do. I exalt My Word. And in one translation it says, even above His name. We need to see how closely connected are His Word to His name. And that's the direction that we're going here with this. But first of all, we need to realize that to exalt the Word, we are giving it honor. We're giving it a higher rank in our life. We're giving it more importance in our life. And that's what the Lord desires for us to do. Let's realize the association of a name and the word that goes with that name. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1, it says this: a good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. This is... First of all, you know, we see that God honors His name, and He honors it by keeping His word. But this is encouragement for us as well, is, you know, how good is your name? When someone speaks your name to someone else, do they think of a person of integrity? Do they think of a person who is honest? Do they think of a person who will keep their word? You know, and so there is an association of word and acts as well. And in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, this is when King Balak is trying to get Balaam to curse the people of Israel. And he keeps setting up different scenarios. And in this one here, he's saying, you know, I'm going to bring you to a place where, I mean, already a few times Balaam has said, you know, I can't curse these people because God is blessing them. And Balak brings him to another place where he sets up an altar and makes sacrifice. And he says, now from this place, you'll be able to see some of the people of Israel. At least curse them. If you can't curse them all, at least curse them. And Balak says, well, you know what? I'll go and listen to the Lord and see what He has to say. And he comes back to King Balak and he says, this is what the Lord has to say. And this is that verse from Numbers 23, verse 19. It says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. He has said, and will He not do it? Has He said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? So the point of it is, and this is the word of the Lord that God said, tell Balak this. I'm not going to lie. This is the way it is. And if I speak it, it's going to come to pass. If I say the word, it will come to pass. Will it not be good? It will be good. And so, you know, again, when you're associating a person's name, you and the words that go with their name, you associate it with the works that they do. Do their works connect with their word? In the flyer, again, I'm going to encourage you to take the flyer. I'm sharing a number of these things in the article on the first page of the flyer, but one of the illustrations that I use between someone's name and their reputation or their word is like, you know, if someone came to you and they said, you know, someone told me that they were going to pay the mortgage on your house. And what would be the first thing you would ask? I mean, would you just, you know, jump up and down and say, hurrah, hurrah, hurrah? I mean, the first thing you would do is say, who said that? And, you know, it would all depend on who said it and what their name was, not their, you know, actual name, but the connection of their character with their name and how their word is compared to their name. You know, for instance, if they replied and said, well, it was a politician making a campaign promise, you know, what would your response be? Forget that. I mean, you know, what is characterized by politicians and their campaign promises is they don't keep them. That's typical. And so, you know, you don't put a lot of, you don't go out and celebrate and start, you know, using your money elsewhere. You know you're still going to have to pay your mortgage. But if someone who is, you know, and they say, well, this is the person that told me that, and you know they're a trustworthy person, you know they have the means to do it, you know that they're a person of their word, it's like, hey, it's time to celebrate. My mortgage is paid off. I know because the person who they are, their character, and what they say, they mean what they say, and they follow through with it. And see, this is what the kind of attitude that God is desiring for us to expect from Him. Expect it in such a way that even when there are times where we will make an appeal to God and we will make an appeal to His name and to His word, what He has said. I mean, that's what God desires for us to do. When we are praying to God, what we're to do is we're to pray back His word to Him. We're to speak what He has said. And in fact, that's exactly what happens in this next verse in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 17. This is where the children of Israel, you know, God brings them up to the promised land the first time, and they rebel. They say, no, there's no way we can do it. And so God says, you know, Moses, enough with these people of Israel. I'll start over with you. I'm going to send a plague. It'll wipe them out, and we'll just start over with you. And this is how Moses makes his appeal to the Lord from Numbers 14, 17. He says, please, Lord, prove that your power is as great as you have claimed, for you have said. And then he goes on into verse 18 saying that, you know, the Lord is slow to anger and filled with unfailing love. Lord, you have said this. So prove, Lord, that your power is as great as you have claimed. Now that's a strong appeal to God. And, you know, Moses went on to say, you know, the Egyptians are going to, they know about the tremendous acts that you did to deliver these people from Israel. And what are they going to report to the Canaanites if you wipe these people out? Well, he had enough power to get them out into the desert, but he couldn't take them into the promised land. Lord, it's your name. Your name is at stake here, really, is what Moses is appealing to when he says to the Lord, he says, please, Lord, prove that your power is as great as you have claimed. And so when we are, you know, asking the Lord for things in our prayer, what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, your word says this. I believe that's the most effective kind of praying that you can pray, because, you know, as it says in 1 John, it says that this is the confidence that we have when we pray, that if we pray according to His will, He hears our prayers and He will answer them. So how do we know if we're praying according to His will? If we're praying according to what the Word of God says, then we can have confidence that we are praying according to His will. And that's where Moses was making this strong appeal to God. Lord, I appeal to the things that you have said. Prove yourself as good as great as you have claimed, for you have said. Okay, so a person's name. We sang about that this morning. Your name, Lord, is an awesome, mighty power. Your name is the power to save, and it's in His name. But His name is as a result of His word, and as a result of following through on His word. His character, His nature is a result of His acting on His word. And so this is the whole of what really this Psalm 138 verse 2 is talking about, the latter part of that, when it says, you have exalted above all else your name and your word, and you have magnified your word above all your name. So I believe the Lord is attempting to get us to magnify and to exalt, to expand it in our perspective, and also to give it higher rank in our life. So that's the direction of magnifying the magnifier of God. Also, the same thing as we read in Scripture, we see not only that, but also the words of Jesus. And so that brings me to chapter 1.
verses 1 through 3.
Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. It says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. First of all, just verses 1 and 2 here, it says, long ago, God spoke to us through prophets. It says, now he has spoken to us through his Son. And then let's look at verse 3 and see what that says. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down at the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. So what I want you to see here again is it says Jesus expresses the very character of God, or the New American Standard Translation says that he is the exact representation. So the conclusion is, also it says this, he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command, or his word. Again, the mighty power of his word is how all things are sustained. And so this brings us to the conclusion that Jesus' words are God's words. They're one and the same. Jesus exactly represents God. So when we're reading the words of Jesus or receiving his teachings or his parables in Scripture, it's God speaking to us. It is the same. Jesus' words are God's words. And so with that then, let's go to Matthew chapter 7 and we'll see the importance, the value of God's word through Jesus and listening to that word, and not only listening and hearing, but also doing it, being obedient to it. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 24 through 27. This is the familiar parable of the wise man and the foolish man, and you can see exactly what the difference is between one who is wise and one who is foolish. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes and torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So we see the difference between the wise and the foolish, the one who listens and follows. Everyone say follow. Okay, it's not just hearing. It's not just listening. It's not just good enough to come and hear a message on Sunday morning or read the scriptures and just read them and hear them as you read them. You got to follow as well to be the wise man who has built his house on the solid rock foundation. The contrast to that is the one who hears. You still hear, I went to church, I listened to the message, I read my Bible, I saw what it said in there. Okay, but if you don't do anything with it, if you don't follow, if you don't heed, if you don't obey, you're still a foolish man, one who is building on a sand foundation. Now, today we've got something special up here. You've been waiting all this time, you've been anticipating. There's solid rock, here's sand. I bet this is the time of the service where we get this illustration. So, Cheryl and Danielle. And the children can come up if you'd like to. I would encourage you just to, you know, kneel or sit if you want to come on up and get a closer view. You're welcome to. If you can see okay where you're at, that's fine, but go ahead.
Okay. This Bible and God are like a rock. Your life is like this building. She's gotten pretty good at this, so. Or maybe she still needs practice. Problems and challenges that come your way is like this rain falling. Wisely building your life in God and on God's word will help you in the times of trouble and keep you strong. Now, not building your life in God or on God's word is like building your life on sand. When problems and challenges come your way, your life cannot stand. What will you build your life on?
Any questions? Pretty self-evident there, isn't it? That, and it's, again, it's not just hearing, because Jesus said both the wise man and the foolish man heard, but one did not obey. Throw me my, a man without his remote. It's lost. Okay. So, again, it's not just in the hearing, but it's in the doing as well. And the reality is to both the person who hears and obeys and the one who just hears, the storms come. Again, this theme is kind of coming around here a multitude of times today. What are we going to do when the difficult times come? If we've purposed in our hearts that, you know, I'm going to obey the word, I'm going to do what the word says, then we're establishing a foundation by which our lives will stand. And storms come in all kinds of forms, not just, you know, literal storms, but there's storms that come in relationships. There's storms that come in finances. There's storms that come in physical health. There are all kinds of storms that come to you in your life. And the point of it is how are you going to ensure that you can stand and be firm and things don't all fall apart in those areas of your life? The way to be certain of that is to hear the word and obey the word, be responsive to the word of God. Now, the only other alternative that we have, if we're not going to obey the word, then we've got to look to something else for establishing, you know, the reason why we do the things that we do. And Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 through 8 give us warning about using other alternatives as the basis for our life and our perception and our action. Colossians chapter 2, and let's read verses 6 and 7 first of all. It says, "And now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him." Everyone say follow. Okay. "Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." Okay, so first of all, what it's saying is continue to follow Jesus. That's the whole point of this. Follow Jesus in what he says, in his word. Then we'll be rooted. Okay, we know how you go try to pull a tree out of the ground, and you know what keeps it there. You go try to push it over with a tractor even, and you know what keeps it there is the roots. It's rooted. What's rooted, we're to be rooted in him. And then it says your faith will grow strong in the truth. We know that truth, in fact, if we want to again, magnify God's word. Jesus said this in his prayer to the Father, "Thy word, O God, is truth." God's word is truth. And so we're going to be established in the truth by being rooted in him as we continue to follow Jesus. And then here's the alternative. If you choose not to listen and obey the words of Jesus, the words of the Lord, then here's the alternative. It says it in verse 8, Colossians 2, verse 8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Okay, so you have the alternative of, if it's not going to be God, then it's either going to be human thinking or spiritual forces of this world, either humans or demons. So you got a choice, three choices: God, humans, demons. Who do you think has the most wisdom? Who do you think is going to be for you, not for themselves or for themselves? Okay? And that's why it's saying don't be taken captive. Don't be taken captive by human reasoning, nonsensical things of this world, or by spiritual powers of this world. The spiritual powers are reflecting on the demonic powers, the hosts of this earth, where it describes Satan as the god of this world. Human philosophies, these kinds of things are what's going to entrap us and prevent us from being established on the truth. These kinds of things, if we default to the things of this world, when the storms come, we're going to fall. Our lives are going to fall apart. That's just the way it is. And so we can determine ahead of time, you know what, I'm not going to be taken captive by the things that I read in magazines or newspaper or internet or whatever, unless it agrees with what God's word says. God's word is the final authority. God's word is the foundation on which we base our lives. So then let's look at Psalms chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. This really, really establishes where we need to be regarding God's word. Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with the mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Again, this is talking about those who don't stand among the mockers or the sinners, standing around, joining in with them. So, again, do not follow the advice of the wicked. Again, it comes back to the three. You can follow God's advice or human reasoning or the spiritual forces of this world. If you follow the advice of these spiritual forces, it goes on to say what happens. I'm not going to concentrate on that, but verses 4 through 6 describe, or verses 4 and 5 describe the results of the wicked. Okay, but instead, we'll choose not to follow the advice of the wicked, but instead, delight in the law of God. I don't want this word law to be confusing, especially after we just went through a series of messages regarding the covenant and the old covenant, which was the law, and the new covenant, and you might be saying, well, why are we going to focus on the law? But in reality, when David is declaring this psalm, the law was their word of God. And so we need to recognize the application for us is to delight ourselves in the word of God, reflecting on it, meditating on it day and night, as it says. And then it describes the result of that as being firmly rooted. Again, it's like a solid foundation. It's like a tree that is established with its roots growing down, roots firmly established in the truth. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about adhering to the word of God, magnifying the word of God, exalting the word of God in our life. We'll be firmly rooted. And not only that, bearing fruit. Like a tree that's by a river. In other words, the water supply for that tree is not going to run dry because it's always there by the river. And it's going to bear its fruit. In each season, it's going to bear its fruit. Not only that, it's going to prosper. That tree is going to prosper. And so will we if we are among those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, not taken captive by human reasonings, by spiritual forces of this world, but instead we're going to embrace the law of God or the word of God. We're going to embrace, we're going to magnify it, we're going to give it higher rank, we're going to exalt it in our own lives. We're going to hear the words of Jesus, not just hear them, but we're also going to follow them. We're going to continue to follow Jesus, being firmly planted in the truth. Now, as we go, I want to remind you that there are things that you want to magnify. I'm not going to put up the ugly picture again, things we don't want to magnify. But we put up that we want to magnify God's word. We want to see it in greater perspective. We want to elevate its rank in our life, its honor, its authority in our life. We want to exalt God's word in our life. And but here's where we're going to go as a part of this series of messages. We want to answer the question why we believe the Bible. And, okay, I guess I didn't put these notes in here, but how can I have the certainty that the Bible is God's word? How can I have the certainty? I mean, people are going to challenge you. In the day that we live in, again, when we're talking about, you know, one of the most significant commodities in our world today is tolerance. People are going to challenge you when you say, but this is the word of God, and this is what God's word says. This is what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Okay, yeah, well, Jesus said that. He said that in the Bible, but who says the Bible is God's word? Who knows that for sure? Why isn't the Quran God's word? Why isn't the Hindu Bible God's word? You know, who says it is? Why do you believe that? Why are you telling me that I shouldn't believe that the Quran is God's word? Okay, and so, you know, those will be questions that people will come to you with, and so we're going to investigate a little bit to know why it is that we are established on this being the Word of God, so that we know that this is what we want to follow. This is what we want to make to be final authority in our life. And as I'm putting up the notes here on the screen, this is what I'm going to encourage you to do. Watch this series by John Piper, and I'm going to bring it up here shortly so you can see what I'm talking about. But this is something that we've already done. If you have an email address and we have that email address, then we have sent to you an invitation. It was a while ago, and so it might be either deleted by now or lost way back in your group of emails. I know how mine gets. But I'm going to resend that invitation, and it will look something like this. You'll receive something in an email that will look something like this. I'm not exactly sure, but it will say right now on there, and it will be an invitation for you to click on, and it will bring you to that website. And back to this one, if I don't have your email address for whatever, if you don't get emails from me that, you know, are like to PFC church people, announcements and things like that, if you're not getting that yet, make sure that I get your email address so that I can include you in this invitation to open up to you a broad perspective of resources that you can utilize. But I'm going to point you to the one that I want you to go to here shortly. But send that email to that email address, which is in your sermon notes there, rdlangworthy@juno.com. And then I can make sure that you get the invite through our church, because our church is presently subscribing to this internet service that is provided. And so now I'm going to back out of my program here and bring you up to the website. So once you log on or click on that link, it will bring you to something. It's going to be a little bit different than this, but eventually you will, you know, you'll put in your information, and then you'll have access to this. And the direction that I want to show you, point you into, is this media. You're not going to have all these resources that I have up here, because I am the administrator and can use these for training groups of people, like our ministry leaders are a group, and I can send out information to them to have them respond to and have them listen to particular videos and so forth. But all of you as media users will have the opportunity to go to this browse media. And when you do, when you click on that, it's going to bring up a variety of things. You'll see things this week, youth, adult, small groups. You might not be able to see all that detail. I guess it's not too bad, but family, marriage, men, women, biblical characters, video illustrations, all of these things, you have access to all of them. Now, again, the direction that I'm going to encourage you into is, I think we may just need to do the search here to bring it up, but there is so much in here. The first time I sent out this invitation, not very many people responded. And, you know, I know how it is with email. You know, a lot of times I'll delete, because you don't know where it came from or, you know, who wants what and that kind of thing. But I'm really going to encourage you this week. I'll send out that invitation again. Really encourage you to get online, because there are so many things that you could access to that would be a blessing to you. And so I'm just going to put in, I think the easiest will be to go John Piper. And, oops, I did it wrong. Well, here we got it anyway. Okay, this is the one that I want you to look at, Why We Believe the Bible. And if you click on that, what it is it's DVD or video type sessions, and there are 10 different sessions here that you can see. I'm pointing to my screen. Can you see where I'm pointing to my screen here? Over across there, there's 10 different sessions that are, 23 to 30 minutes, about half an hour. So I would encourage you to just, take one a day, or, one every other day or something like that. But I'd encourage you to go there, because he's identifying, and we'll address some of those in our messages too. I realize not everyone has internet access or high-speed internet to watch a video on the internet or whatever, but I encourage you to access this if you can. If you don't have internet access, arrange a time to come up to the church, and I'll get you online, and I'll make it so that you can have access to these teachings as well. But so if you just open up one to start to play, and actually John Piper is a pastor of Bethany Christian Center, I think, up in Minneapolis, which is a Reformed church. And there's, anytime you avail yourself to someone's teaching, again, you always measure it with the Word. Same way with me on Sunday morning, you want to evaluate it with what the Word says, not just take what I say for because pastor said it. But so you'll see something like this that will give you more detail about why we believe that the Bible is God's Word. Okay, enough on that. But so we want to avail you to have access to resources that are going to help to train you as well and establish that foundation for you, so that when you're challenged, and you'll be challenged with human wisdom, you'll be challenged with spiritual forces of darkness, you'll be challenged with all kinds of things that are not according to God's Word. And I desire that you would be firmly established that the Bible is God's Word. And we have so much evidence for the reality of why the Bible is God's Word. And so let's take this word, let's magnify it, let's exalt it, let's give it proper place in our life. Let's give it the time, the value that it is intended to be in our life. Not just, my Bible sits on the shelf all week while I'm at home, and, why bring it to church? Pastor always puts the verses on the screen. And, you start bringing your Bible if you haven't already. I really encourage you to do that and start reading through Psalms 119. There's so much there. Start reading this. People, don't be Bible ignorant or Bible illiterate. When God has given us this, and I'll say this over and over again, He is the creator of life, and He is the one that has given us how to deal with life. He has given us the owner's manual for life. In fact, Psalms 119, verse 73 says this: You made me, you created me, now give me the sense to follow your commands. Do we need to be more plain than that? God's the creator of life. He knows how it's to be lived. He knows how we can have the best life that we can have. He knows how we can have abundant life. But if we're continually defaulting to the things of this world, the wisdom of this world, you know what? You're going to miss out on that blessed life that He has to give. You're going to miss out. What you'll experience is a whole lot more damage with the storms in your life. So it's up to you. But I'm offering you some resources to enable you to be established, firmly rooted, like that tree planted by the river, firmly rooted in the truth that we have from God's Word. And so there's no reason for you to go on being biblically illiterate or ignorant or without understanding why, in fact, this is the Word of God. So with that, we'll head off into our continued series here as we go, and trust the Lord is going to lead us into good things. So let's pray. Father, we believe your word. We don't want it just to be a nostalgic kind of book of ages of antiquity and just leave it as something like that. But it's life and breath to us for our daily spiritual being and well-being. And my prayer is, Father, that we would give the attention that you desire for us to give it, to exalt it, to magnify it, to give it its proper place in our life. And my prayer is, Father, is that none of us would be slacking in this, but we would utilize the resources that are available to us, enabling us to be more firmly rooted and established. This is my prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I also pray that we would have your blessing upon our meal time, our fellowship meal, as we enjoy that together. Father, just to enjoy the food and the fellowship, we pray your blessing on the food and each one that has been a part in preparing it. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we pray for the guys to keep them safe, Lord, as they play their football game today. And may they just have a good time, Lord, and but to continue to be safe. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.